And yeah, it's a time of their birthdays and Mother's Day are especially ones that bring to mind our moms. Every now and again, I'll pray to God to say hi to my mom for me. I don't know if he honors that or not. I know that she doesn't see me because she can't see the pain of this world anymore in the bliss that she's in heaven right now. But I ask her to say hi for me, and I love her. Miss her. The scripture lesson, one of them, first one, is from 2 Timothy, chapter 1, and then 1 through 7. And it's Paul is talking to Timothy, and he's talking about the legacy that his mother and grandmother gave him. And it sounded like maybe a daughter-in-law writing to her mother-in-law and says, "Please, mother-in-law, don't tell me how to raise my kids. Remember, I'm living with one of yours." So. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve, as my forefathers did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power and love and self-discipline. Our second scripture reading is from the book of Acts and chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, and starting with verse 17. From Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. When they arrived, he said to them, "You know how I lived the whole time I was with you from the very first day I came into the province of Asia. I served the Lord with great humility and with tears, although I was severely tested by the plots of the Jews. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of grace. Now I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again. Therefore, I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from among your own members, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourself know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help keep the weak. We must help the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself, it is more blessed to give than to receive." When he had said this, he knelt down with all of them and prayed. They all wept as they embraced him and kissed him. What grieved them most was his statement that they would never see his face again. Then they accompanied him to the ship. So I have a song to do for Jackson this morning. And I read somewhere that rather than have goals for your children, have desires for them. And this song, I think, portrays the kind of desire that Chris and Linda and the rest of us have for Jackson. Thank you.
only for a moment you are mine to hold. The plans that heaven has for you will all too soon unfold. So many different prayers I'll pray for all that you might do. But most of all, I want to know you're walking in the truth. And if I never told you, I want you to know. As I watch you grow, I pray that God would fill your heart with dreams, that faith gives you the courage to dare to do great things. I'm here for you, whatever this life brings. So let my love give you roots and help you find your wings. May passion be the wind that leads you through your days, and may conviction keep you strong, guide you on your way. May there be many moments that make your life so sweet, over more than memories. I pray that God would fill your heart with dreams. Faith gives you the courage to dare to do great things. I'm here for you, whatever this life brings. So let my love give you roots and help you find your wings. It's not living if you don't reach for the sky. I'll have tears as you take off, but I'll cheer you as you fly. I pray that God would fill your heart with dreams, that faith gives you the courage to dare to do great things. I'm here for you, whatever this life brings. So let my love give you roots and help you find your wings.
And everyone else that's coming with him. Yes. Come on up. Good. And I'm inviting the kids to come down. Come on down. Yeah, sit there on the ground or a chair in the chairs right there. It's all good. Good, good, good. Just don't horse around too much. Look, this is Jackson's time. So shh, for Jackson's sake. Yes. Jackson's getting baptized today. That means that God's going to do something for him that will change his life forever. We don't always understand it, but we're going to watch it. We're going to watch it. Shh, got to be quiet today. Okay. Shh, yes. Welcome. That was working. It worked for now. Thank you, Mom. It is good to have you here, and it is God's desire to bless, and he tells us that children are a gift from him. And as you stand here today, as you join with your family and your extended family and whoever else is there in thought, because it can't be here in person today, we celebrate this day with you and with Jackson. I pray that as we spend this time that you would just receive all the grace and the strength that God gives you as husband and wife to do all that he wants for you. I ask you as mom and dad, First of all, it's very important that your heart's desire is to maintain that relationship of husband and wife, those vows, those covenant promises that you made. As life gets a little tougher, as each one of the little ones come into life, and it may have a little bit more stress on your marriage and everything else, this too shall pass, okay? Scripture says that it came to pass, so you sometimes just have to wait it out, and he's doing okay so far. Yeah, shh, 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 shh. We're doing good. So I ask the two of you, is it still your heart's desire to continue to love and encourage and be obedient to the Lord in your marriage relationship as husband to wife, and be faithful to the things that God's revealed to you in his word, to be husband and wife as he desires you to be? If that's your first heart, say yes with the help of God. And as mom and dad, you have no small task in nurturing a child. It's more than just simply putting food and clothing on them and other things like that. It's the nurturing that comes with, will you see this child through until finally God takes him away, takes him back, or God takes you away? And so as a mom and dad, will it be your heart's desire to put into Jackson's hands the word of God, to teach him how to love the Lord, to know about the Lord and the revelation of God in his word? If that's your heart's desire and your commitment, say yes with the help of God.
Yes, with the help of God.
And as sponsors, it's important for both of you to remember you can't believe for Jackson. You can't save Jackson any more than you can even save yourself. But you can be a blessing in his life. You can be an encouragement to his mom, his dad. You can understand how tough it is to raise kids. You can understand how they may need a break and encouragement and blessing. And you can do that for them, and you can do that for Jackson. And so I ask the two of you as sponsors, will you be committed to the vows and promises that you make today to do all that you can to make sure mom and dad and Jackson continue to grow in their faith and in their relationship with God? Will you do those things that are tough for mom and dad or for him to make a difference in his life? And will you do that with the utmost of gentleness and care and faithfulness to God and his word? If that's your heart's desire, say yes with the help of God.
Yes.
And as congregation, family, parents, and extended family, it is a miracle that God gives us the privilege of taking care of one another. We sometimes forget that. And so I ask all of you, is it your heart's desire also? Are you have that continuous commitment to surround the Mosses and certainly Jackson and each one of the other boys to love them, nurture them, encourage them, and bless them? If you are willing to accept that privilege and that responsibility as the congregation and extended family and church family of the Moss family, say yes with the help of God.
Yes.
Good job, you guys. That was good. Are we ready for this? Good luck. I will take that. Wait, will you just keep under him yet? Oh, I'm sorry, Jackson. I got you. Yes, okay. I know. Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Yeah, you want to be up a little higher? Yeah, well, we're going to get this done, Jackson. Jackson Robert Moss. I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. There. Yes. Is that better? You want to see them? I'm sorry. I held you the wrong way. I just didn't. They don't always come with directions, do they? Can you uncover that? Thank you. I make the sign of the cross upon your forehead and upon your chest to remind you that you have been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. Look, there's the little kids are. There they are. Yeah. And I lift you up and set you apart unto the Lord Jesus and ask that he would guard and watch over you and protect your life in every way, that you would grow stronger in the faith and be built up in the Lord Jesus every day. In his name, amen. Amen, kids? Amen? Yeah. Well, that's all right. We'll get her done. I'll let you grab it that way. There we go. This is yours. These are yours. And you guys get to sit back down. Did you know that there are some things we can see, and so we know they're real because we can see them? It's kind of like, I see this. All right? What's this?
Chair.
Do you trust, do you believe the chair will hold you?
Yes.
Raise your hand if you say yes. How about now? Okay. Watch now. I'm going to leave it like this. Raise your hand if you believe or trust the chair will hold you. Don't move. Don't move yet. Now, can we see that?
Yes.
Can I see you trusting?
Yes.
No.
No.
Can I see you trusting?
No.
Can I see if you have faith in the chair?
No.
No. What's the only way that I can see it? Yes. Can you show me? Show me you trust the chair. Now we know he trusts the chair because he's doing what? You get to sit back down. Now here, I want you to understand something really important. When Jesus rescues Jackson, he's bringing Jackson into a relationship of trust where Jackson's going to have to learn each and every day how to trust in the Lord Jesus more and more. The same way that you trust. You think I can lift you?
No.
Crushed my spirit there. Huh? Do you think I can lift you? Can I lift you, please? Oh, that's so sweet. Now you know she trusts in me. What does she trust? That I won't
drop her.
That's really important, isn't it? She might get hurt. That's trust. Thank you. That's what I want to remind you, that in baptism, the Lord begins a relationship of trust where sometimes he'll tell you to do something. Come, sit in the chair or fight over it. There's room for two. Both of you get on there. Perfect. Wonderful. And you get to sit down. And sometimes, go sit back down. Sometimes he says, can I lift you now? Oh. Sometimes he says, I'll carry you. And you've got to trust that he will. Whose strength is he trusting? My strength. Whose strength do you have to trust? God's strength. Good job. Thank you. You remember that today, okay? What is today, by the way? Mother's Day. Did you do something nice for your mom today?
Yes.
I sure hope so. Yeah, no, we haven't done it yet. Dad's got to stop at the store on the way home. How many of you got her flowers? Cards? Did you make her card? Good, good card. Did you clean your room? Go ahead. You cleaned your room. Well done. All right. Are you taking her out for lunch?
Maybe.
All right. All right. Maybe's a start. All right. I have a treat for you guys, and there's something to share with your mom. Now, wait. There's two things in here. You get one of each. All right. One you keep. One goes to your mom. Okay. Wait till I... Wait. Don't look in there. Wait. I got to get back here. All right. Yeah, this could be all day here. Wait. Gentlemen, ladies first. Yeah. Wait. Gentlemen, ladies first. There you go, one of each.
Wait, you get me.
All right, one of each, that's fine. There you go. Take one of each. One of each, and give one to Mom or Grandma or somebody's nearby. One of each. Good. Whoop. Get her done. You're welcome, honey. Here's one of these. Here's one of these. Grab one of these, too. There you go. There you go. Grab whatever you want. One of each. There you go. Oh, yeah, one more. Sure. You take this for Mom, too. Yeah, she likes those. So I thought I'd talk about the perfect mom, make you feel guilty and ashamed all day. And, you know, it's a hard thing to talk about Mother's Day. Certainly because, you know, I lost my mom. You're aware of that a couple years ago. Not quite a couple, but certainly getting close. And I was thinking of all the different things that you think about on a Mother's Day. Like Tom shared a little bit, you kind of remember some of the special things about moms and other things like that. And I was working with a couple yesterday who I'm going to marry later on in the summer, and was one of my ex-students. Well, she's now graduated from college, so she's a young woman and everything now. And I was doing marriage counseling with them, and I have a briefcase that I keep all that stuff in, and I'm going through it, and I came across my niece's poem that she wrote for my mother's funeral. And I thought, you know, how do you identify what makes a great mom? You know, I mean, there are things that you might have hated about my mom, but I loved. Stand up, Bruce, when you fall down, get hurt, right? You get hurt. Stand up, get over here. I'll pick you up. And she, you know, she'd do things like, you know, I scrape my finger down to the bone. She takes this washcloth and goes, scrub, 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 scrub. All right, really good scrub. Never, no one real infection or anything. Did it all right with a smile. Got it done, put the salve on, get going. There's different things moms do. They don't even treat everybody in the family quite exactly the same. Right? I mean, the proverbial mom always loved you best, and you all play that game, right? I know that we play that game. It's Ellen and or Nadine. You can understand why it's not me. But you begin to recognize how challenging it is. And then sometimes mothers can get under a kind of a conviction, a set of shame, guilt, embarrassment, or something like, somehow if everything isn't going well in their child's life, it must somehow be their fault. Okay? Or if you lose your temper or you're less than perfect, somehow you're the guilty one of why the kids didn't believe in God or have fallen away. You know, when you live long enough, you begin to discover that there are good, good mothers where some of the kids just turn out badly. They just turn out badly. They have nothing to do with Mom. You can't save yourself, Mom. You certainly can't save your kid. But sometimes we get this concept inside of us that we have to be the perfect mom or the perfect wife or have the perfect marriage or whatever it is we want to fill up our mind with. Like somehow, you all married, of course, the perfect husband, right? Raise your hand if you've got the perfect husband. Yeah, I got one. Oh, good. Oh, you better treat her good today. That was a bonus point there. I don't know if she meant it or not, but a big one, a diamond. But you understand, we get this idea that somehow we're going to have the perfect family. We're going to have the perfect Christmas, the perfect Thanksgiving, and we do all these weird and peculiar things to make this stuff happen, and then we're broken sometimes because it doesn't turn out perfect. And I whisper to you and I shout to you, I go, guess what? There's a book, and I got to look at it because I know I'm going to forget the title. There's a book called, where to put it? Darn, it was such a good book too. When Sinners Say I Do. Isn't that a good book title? I hate to break it to you, ladies. The only guys that are out there are sinners. Man, gentlemen, you found that out also. And so this book title just struck me. I went, oh, that's a pretty appropriate book title. And then I was doing marriage counseling yesterday, premarital counseling for the kids, and all that kind of stuff you have to talk about, because we have these expectations we place on ourselves and these demands we make of ourselves. And somehow in the middle of it, you know, we have somebody else who doesn't like your mom, or brother or sister who liked your mom and you didn't appreciate the very thing that your mother brought. And so I thought, how do you begin going through this? Do I just interview people and say, what makes a good mom? Do we come up with some kind of list? And then I found, like I said, Sarah's little poem, and I'm going to read some of it. I don't know if I read all of it, but it struck me because it reminded me of my own mom, and it reminded me of Sarah, my niece's perception of my mom. All right? I don't know if she's ever been wailed on like mom did to my sisters. Right? I don't know, but I did hear her heart. She goes, I walked in today to do your nails and hair, and I bounced on your lap without a single care. I'm here, Grandma. Did you make me mac and cheese? You responded with, how about a hello and a please? You were always that way, looking out for me, teaching me manners and how to appreciate things, from crafts to baking to singing musical tunes. At a very young age, I completely adored you. And I thought, well, mac and cheese is okay. Right? Here she is appreciating my mom, her grandmother. Here she is seeing in her traits and characteristics that I may or may not have seen. And she is talking about this joy that she brings in this remembrance, even as she writes this poem. I walked in today to do your nails and hair. I was in a teenage mood when life's never fair. You wouldn't give me an inch. You put me right in my place, telling me life isn't fair. Stop trying to win a race. You taught me to live each moment as if it were my last, to take all my bitterness and leave it in the past. From board games to sheep's head and yes, Scrabble too. I always felt better after being with you. Isn't that neat? I don't like Scrabble. I know people that love it. They just love it, you know, work with these stupid letters and spell somewhere. Bah humbug. But Sarah did. She loved my mom, and she loved those games that mom would play with her. There was something that was happening. And see, that's what I want you to understand. Mom is different to each person who comes in contact with her. Now, I love my mom or loved my mom, but I have to also understand that other people see other things in them that maybe this child does or doesn't see. She wrote the next verse, I walked in today to do your nails and hair. I saw you in a corner sitting in your wheelchair. As I walked in the room, your smile lit up my face, lit up your face. And right then I knew that right there was my favorite place. From relationship advice to walking down memory lane, there was never a dull moment, never two visits the same. Every time I left you, I would get in the car and cry. You were my favorite hello and my hardest goodbye. I thought, oh, Lord, what are they going to write about you? I didn't mean you. I meant me. But I allowed that to hang in the air over you, too. What are they going to write? You see, our text from Acts today is all about who Paul was and how he lived and how he responded. And the memory that he was leaving with a whole group of people. It was in that moment a reminder of I live certain ways that I want you to remember, not because I'm a perfect man, a perfect mom, a perfect anything, but because I had this moment in time with you, a little bit like Tom's song. I walked in today to do your nails and hair when suddenly I realized that you wouldn't be there. My heart started breaking as the memories flooded through. How was I going to live out my life? Live my life without you. From childhood to college, to seeing the woman I've become, you've been there for me through it all, always cheering me on. Excuse me, I didn't know it was going to happen. I don't usually. Do you remember your mom cheering you on? Didn't matter whether you won or lost. You know, I once won a tennis match, believe it or not. And they gave me a trophy. And I rode my bike to the match because mom was busy. And it was like a 4 or 5 mile ride. And I won the trophy, first place. I went to the payphone, those of you who remember those. Called it, Mom, I got a flat tire. Can you come and get me? You know what I wanted to protect? My trophy. Sure, I'll come and get you. She looked at my tire. She said, Bruce, it's not flat. I just wanted you to come so I'd make sure my trophy made it home without getting broken. And it was okay. I broke up her day. I created my own little scenario, how foolish you can laugh at. But, you know, at a certain age, you thought it was wise or something. And in that moment, somehow, she was willing to say, okay. When I got the call from the Lord, middle of the night, to become a pastor, Mom was the first one I told the next morning. I said, Mom, God told me last night I'm supposed to become a pastor. I'm in 9th grade in high school. I'm supposed to go to Concordia High School. I'm supposed to become a pastor. But Mom does. She didn't talk about the money. She didn't talk about the travel. She said, okay. Okay. We'll figure it out. If that's what God wants you to do, we'll make it happen. And many, many times that first year or two until I got to be 16 and have access to a vehicle of my own, she had to drive me to school and pick me up and other things like that. She gave all of that. And so I begin to try and help you understand. There are things Mom did, like pick me up when I had a trophy I didn't want to break. And I remember she didn't yell. And I go, you may not think of that because you've never been dumb enough to tell her you had a flat tire so she'd come pick you up. So the whole scenario. But for that, that's one. So what makes a good mom? How are we going to define one? I don't want to pretend for 1 second my mom was flawless or perfect. She wasn't. But she was awfully good to a guy like me. And I'm going, here I am trying to figure this out. And Sarah's last verse goes like this. As much as I will miss you, there's joy inside my soul. I know you're with Jesus. I knew you were ready to go. I bet Grandpa came to greet you wearing that big floppy hat. Bet you marched in heaven's gates, tall and proud. You always were like that. I bet you're in the garden with God, walking hand in hand. Wow. I didn't cry when I heard this read before. I bet they got a big kitchen with a million baking pans. I'll do your nails someday again. I can't tell you how excited I am. But until God calls me home, I want you to know I'm still and always will be your biggest fan. I go, wow. So here I am reading this, going, how am I going to talk to the moms in my congregation? How do you begin to guess what it feels like alone for a third day after one child has got the flu and it's been passed to the second one and you got 2.5 hours sleep the night before and you're not going to get that much tonight and you're this young mother in the middle of going, what have I done to myself? Where did these little ones come from? And then, you know, we like to pretend they turn out perfect, but I mean, there's this neat little thing I read, and hopefully I can say this one without too many tears or anything. It said, when you're about four, you think your mom can do just about anything. When you turn about 12, you're thinking mom doesn't know everything. And then you turn 14. And you start saying mom doesn't know anything. By 18, you probably start thinking mom is so out of step that she goes backwards instead of forwards. By 25 again, if you manage to hang on to her, you start to find out she knows a few things. By 35, you start thinking, before we decide, let's go get mom's opinion. By 45, I wonder what my mom would say about this. And by 65, I just wish I could talk to my mom one more time. We are so unpredictable. We're so fickle. You see, what I loved about the Timothy passage is it doesn't say that Timothy's mom was good or perfect. It doesn't say that her grandma was good or perfect. It says that they received the inheritance of the faith that this mother had. They received that faith. And I go, you have to understand that you're never going to be a perfect woman. You're never going to be a perfect husband, perfect father, perfect man. Those are not possible. But the challenge is for you to live a life exemplary of real sincere faith. People that have sincere faith, mothers that have faith, read the Word. They're in it in their own time, asking God to show them, teach them, reveal things to them. Mothers that are working and growing in their faith are women of prayer. I've shared with you times I would come up to my mom and dad's house and I'd be quietly start coming from the front yard or something, coming toward the back door, and it'd be the middle of summer, the screen door would be open, and I'd hear mom and dad praying for me. And I go, they're people of prayer. They're not praying because they're perfect, they're praying because they're not perfect. And you start to begin to understand the flavor of what God's trying to reveal. And you begin to recognize that mothers who care about other people. They just get invested in them. I can't tell you how many people adopted my mom. How many people want to adopt you? You know what I mean? I'm going to adopt your mom. She's perfect. Well, it's not perfect. You just see what she does in my hands, grab my finger. It's not perfect. But they saw something in her. And I go, do you realize it isn't perfection that God is wanting from you? It's authenticity. It's authenticity. I want you to be authentic in your faith. When you do it wrong, repent. Walk up to that son, that daughter, and say, I'm sorry. When you do it right, do everything you can to what? Encourage. How many times would I never have gone out and got that job or done the next thing if mom said, come here, I'll make the phone call. And she picked up that phone. Well, you got a job. The interview's tomorrow at. And I go, oh, okay, thanks, mom. And I go, you look at that and I go, that's the difference between success and failure. It's a difference between a life that's orderly and disorderly. It's a difference between mom putting it on the line for me, doing something that I really should have been old enough to do myself, but recognizing that right now, at this point in my life, I couldn't. Do you understand that moms who recognize their job is not to be perfect, but it's to be spiritually mature, growing in their own individual faith, seeking to be more and more like God every day, begin to live out that life of Christ for their children? They learn that life of Christ, that sacrifice, that commitment, that sensitivity, that persistence. Come on, you can do this. I used to have a morning paper route, 5:30, 5 o'clock in the morning. High school, 4 years. Winter, rain, snow, sleet, hail. Get up some mornings, and it was mucky. Ma, will you take me on my paper route? Sure. Why would a woman do that for me? She's a mom. Ever heard the saying, you have a face only your mother can love? I understand what that means in more than one way, but you begin to understand, my mom, all right, I'll take you. And then as we're going around one particular morning and the icy, mucky time of morning, my mom gets out of the car to help deliver one of my papers, slips and falls on the ice and breaks her leg for me. Do you understand, even as mothers or fathers, and it makes no difference, you have to recognize this commitment, this sensitivity that God has in what am I putting in a mother's heart? He goes, have you ever seen the love of a mother for that child? Like a nursing mother. He even uses that as specific examples. Do you understand how many women, how many mothers are at the forefront of all the major people's lives? Who kept Moses alive so he wouldn't get killed by the rest of the Egyptians? His mother. She had the baby anyway, even though she wasn't supposed to. And she hid him. And then she put him in this special thing she made out of bulrushes so she could float him down the river. She had faith in God. We sometimes skip across those things, and that's unfortunate because sometimes we neglect to take the time. Almost like Sarah sat down and composed that, and you can talk to her how long it took and whatever went on, but I go, what would your poem about your mom be? I'm certain there are certain things they could also complain about. Grandma didn't make macaroni and cheese for me that day. I had to eat pork chops. But here's the miracle. God is interested in you living out your faith in real sincerity. Do you know you live out your faith when times get tough most visibly? I started off by saying this little phrase, great mothers have great problems. Great mothers have great problems. And they come through them. And they stand. And they will not quit. They will not give up. They stand and fight depending upon whether it's something personal in their life, whether it's something in the marriage, whether it's something with a child. They do the things that have to be done. Ravi Zacharias says the reason he's alive today is because of his mother. He said he had a horrible disease and they were giving up on him and he was on his deathbed because he had tried to commit suicide. You want to know who stood by him? Mom. You want to know who walked through that whole situation with him? His mom. You want to know who struggled with him and put him down most of his life? His father. Here's the issue. Here's the point. You have to recognize God is calling men and women, particularly today on Mother's Day, to a level of faithfulness. Faithfulness in your relationship with your husband. Faithfulness in your commitment to your family. Faithfulness in your relationship with God so that He can pour into you the strength, the wisdom, the understanding, the peace, and the grace that you need to make it through the next day. So that when you're up at 2 o'clock in the middle of the night, you go, who cares? And God whispers, I do. When you're dealing with a husband or a child that thinks they can go in the other direction and you can't do a thing about it, who cares? God whispers, I'm right here with you. And you begin to stand with great courage and great boldness and you begin to understand those women of the past that presented that. In Timothy's life, who taught Timothy and was able to pass on the faith that Timothy exercised? Paul said, I saw it first in your mother. And then I saw it in your grandmother too. He said, I saw it. I saw him get in the chair of trust. I saw him believe that God would pick him up. I saw it in them, and that's why I'm seeing it in you, because you've had an example for you. Not because his mother was perfect, not because his grandmother was perfect, but because they taught and lived a life of faith and obedience to God. God is giving us that opportunity in the section that Paul has here in the book of Acts. He proceeds to talk about some of the marvelous things that he has done in terms of that. He calls himself, so I got just the list here, the following things. Paul calls himself a slave of God. He says, "You have seen my humility. He has demonstrated my sensitivity or an empathy. He sees, you have seen my faithfulness. You've seen that I'm 100% in with you. I won't quit." And he's telling this to an Ephesian congregation. And he said, "I have parented you. I've been like a mother to you." And he finishes it off with, "I taught you the truth. I stood with you publicly and privately. And I finished the job." One day I hope someone writes a poem about you the same way Sarah wrote it about my mother, her grandmother. I want that, because those are things you can start right now. You can begin that job right now. My mom and dad didn't always pray for me, at least I didn't see them. But as they got older, they prayed more because I needed it more. But you begin to understand, God is calling you and I, men or women, to a level of faithfulness, to a level of commitment, to take the unique things you are as a woman, to take those unique qualities that you are and give every one of them in submission to God, so that your short temper becomes a quick response at the right time, so that your worry becomes valid concern with the right attitude, so that your willingness to do something becomes conscious decision to do it in an orderly way that really blesses somebody. You understand? You may have these negative traits or even positive traits that you perceive to be positive, and you sometimes end up making excuses. "I learned that from my mom. That's just the way I am. I will smack you." And I go, everything about you as a woman has to be submitted to Jesus Christ. The same way Paul had to be submitted to Jesus Christ. The same way God took a man who killed Christians and turned him into a man who loved Christians and was willing to serve and die for them. That's the thing that we have to understand. Mother's Day is an invitation. I want you to be that front runner, that front line of blessing for each one of your children, your grandchildren. I want them to see more than anything else, my spirit in you, my life in yours. And when you blow it, please understand I'm right next to you. When you're falling apart inside, please understand I'm right by you. I haven't quit on you. I haven't deserted you. I will love that kid. And I want you to understand, you might be in the middle of that 4, 12, 14, 18-year-old group of kids. Someday, God willing, you'll hit that 65 of the go, "I wish I could talk to my mom just one more time." That's what you heard Tom say. You understand? God has this love for you. Women, he puts in that unique role. You complete everything about life and people. You complete everything in who you are and the uniqueness you bring. Everything in you, as well as everything in every man, has to be first submitted to the Spirit of God. And then under the Spirit of God, you have to live it out in fullness, in forgiveness, mercy, and love. Pray with me if you would. Lord Jesus, come and bless each of the women, girls in this fellowship. Help them to realize the treasure that they are in your eyes. Help them to understand the hand that holds their lives and so tenderly ministers to them. Lord, give mothers strength no matter what age they happen to be at, no matter what degree of strength they need as kids go in different directions and life deals a blow they didn't expect and circumstances change and all kinds of different things are affected, Lord. Have mercy on them, Lord, and just fill this day with your presence. Help us not only to appreciate and love mothers, today, but all year long. Help us to honor them the way you honor them and love them the way you love them. And we pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.